It's a privilege and joy for me once again to be back here with you.
Da det et privilegium og en glede å være sammen med dere her igjen.
One is of course Pastor Eric is a friend who I meet at many of our Foursquare international events.
Selvfølgelig Erik en venn som jeg møter på flere av våre internasjonale samlinger I Foursquare sammenhenger.
But also I actually like Norway.
Men jeg liker Norge faktisk.
You have a beautiful country.
Dere har et vakkert land rett og slett.
You have to actually travel the world to realize how beautiful Norway is.
Og man må faktisk reise litt rundt I verden for å innse hvor vakkert Norge er.
I just came after spending a few days in the Middle East in Dubai and that's this just sand desert and nothing except for the building.
Jeg kommer akkurat ifra Dubai og har vært noen dager der sånn og der det bare sand og ødemark og bygninger ingenting annet.
And also thank you for praying for my continued work with your Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
Også tusen takk for deres fortsatte bønn I forhold til det arbeidet jeg gjør med Utenriksdepartementet.
Which supports some work that I do in what we would call post-war reconciliation in Sri Lanka.
Det arbeidet, det dreier seg om det etterspillet etter den fredsavtalen som ble inngått på Sri Lanka, så det oppfølgingen av den fredsavtalen som han da involvert I.
And so that's been a great blessing.
Så det har også vært en stor velsignelse.
So thank you for praying.
Så takk for at dere ber for det.
This more as I was waiting on something to share with you.
Jeg satt og ventet på hva jeg skulle dele med dere.
The Lord gave me a word that I believe is the word for this evening.
Og da opplever jeg at Herren ga meg et ord som jeg kjenner et ord for denne kvelden.
And it was the words of some words of Jesus.
Det var en del ord som vi kjenner igjen som Jesus har uttalt.
He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me.
Der han blant annet sier, når jeg blir løftet opp, vil jeg dra alle mennesker til meg.
And so the word for this evening is lift Jesus up.
Så det ordet jeg fikk for denne kvelden å løfte Jesus opp.
And when Jesus was lifted up, the whole point was that you would look to him.
Hele poenget med at Jesus skulle løftes opp var at man skulle se ham tydelig.
That's what he meant when he said lift me up so that people could look to me and I will draw people to me.
Det var det han mente når han sa løft meg opp at mennesker kan se på meg og tiltrekkes av det.
And so this evening I want to share about Jesus and about looking at him.
Så jeg vil dele om det og se på Jesus.
And I want to look at a passage of scripture that talks about Jesus.
Så vi skal se på noen skriftsteder som taler om dette som handler om å se på Jesus.
So if you turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John.
Hvis man begynner I Johannes evangeliet.
Chapter 1.
Kapittel 1.
And we will look from the first to the fifth verse.
Der leser vi vers 1-5.
So John 1:1-5.
Johannes 1:1-5. I begynnelsen var ordet, og ordet var hos Gud, og ordet var Gud. Han var I begynnelsen hos Gud. Alt ble til ved ham, og uten ham ble ingenting til av alt det som ble til. I ham var liv, og livet var menneskenes lys, og lyset skinner I mørket, og mørket forstod det ikke.
This tells us and calls Jesus the Word.
Dette forteller oss, og det kaller Jesus for ordet, likestiller Jesus med ordet selv.
And says, in the beginning was the word.
I begynnelsen var dette ordet.
And this verse is very similar to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1.
Dette ligner jo veldig på det vi leser I første Mosebok, kapittel 1, vers 1.
Which says, in the beginning, God.
I begynnelsen, Gud.
And so the Old Testament begins with saying in the beginning God.
Så I det gamle testamentet så starter det med I begynnelsen Gud.
And the New Testament begins with saying in the beginning the word.
Och det också slik att Nytestamentet på måte begynner då I begynnelsen ordet.
And of course it says and the word was God and the word is God.
Og vi leser jo videre at ordet var Gud, og ordet var hos Gud, og ordet var Gud.
And the word became flesh in Jesus Christ.
Og senere leser vi at ordet ble kjød I Jesus Kristus.
And so what the Bible says is that in the beginning, it's all about God.
Slik at det Bibelen prøver å oppsummere med dette at I begynnelsen så var det bare Gud.
Which tells us that things begin with God.
Det sier oss at alt begynner.
He is at the center of everything.
Han sentrum for alle ting.
He is the start of everything.
Han begynnelsen til alle ting.
He is the reference point that we use.
Han referansepunktet som vi bruker.
And it is a mistake for us to believe that God is not at the center of things, but that we are.
Og det en misforståelse å tro at Gud ikke sentrum, men at vi selve sentrum.
You know, centuries ago, when science knowledge was much less.
For århundre siden, når vitenskap og kunskapen var mye mindre enn det den I dag.
People believe that the earth didn't rotate around the sun, but that the sun rotated around the earth.
Da hadde man en helt annen forståelse at solen gikk rundt jorda.
But as scientific knowledge increased, they begin to realize, no, the sun is not rotating around the earth is rotating around the sun.
Men så oppdaget man da at det ikke solen som går rundt jorda, men det jorda som går rundt sola.
And in fact, it is the sun that gives energy and actually sustains life on earth.
Och det är solen som den som ger energi och som gör att det kan vara upprätthållelse och existens av liv I det hela tatt.
And the earth rotates around the sun.
Och att jorden då roterar runt solen.
The source of its life.
Så därför så fungerar den och upprätthåller liv.
And it is and that scientific or physical fact.
Och det vetenskapliga fysiska faktum vi snackar om då.
Gives us a picture of a spiritual fact.
Det ger oss också ett bilde av ett andligt faktum.
That it is not that things rotate around my life.
Nämligen att det inte allt roterar runt mitt liv.
Just like it's not that the sun rotates around the earth.
Akkurat som sola ikke roterer rundt jorda.
But my life rotates around God, which is the giver and the sustainer of life.
Men at mitt liv det roterer rundt Gud, som den som gir liv og opprettholder liv.
Which is why the Bible says, in the beginning, God.
Og det begrunnelsen til hvorfor Bibelen sier, I begynnelsen, Gud.
In the beginning, the Word.
I begynnelsen, Ordet.
And so things begin with God.
Så ting och alla ting begynner med Gud.
God revealed in the flesh, lived among us as Jesus Christ.
Så blev Gud uppenbart I kött och levde ibland oss I form av Jesus Kristus.
You know, God identifies himself very strongly with his word.
Gud identifierar sig själv väldigt starkt med sitt ord.
One of the ministries I do in Sri Lanka is I teach in a Bible school.
En av de tjänsterna jag gör I Sri Lanka att undervisa på bibelskolan vår.
And so very often in my first class I ask my students now tell me what is the most valuable thing that you have.
Och I första undervisningsklassen som jag har så frågar jag ofta vad är det mest värdefulla som du har?
And many of them are thinking well is it my watch or is it my smartphone or they you know now trying to figure out you know what is the valuable thing they have.
Och många tänker då med en gång och tänker att ja är det klockan min är det smartphone min eller vad är det som är det mest värdefulla jag har.
And then I actually tell them there are two things that you have that are clearly the most valuable.
Och så säger jag till dem det är två ting de har som helt tydligt är det mest värdefulla de äger.
Because everything else will pass away.
För allt annat vill bara försvinna en dag.
But there are two things that the Bible tells us is eternal.
Men det är två ting som Bibeln berättar oss är evigt.
And I say one is you.
Det ena är du.
Because you are eternal.
Du är evigt.
The Bible tells us that we are eternal beings.
Bibeln säger att vi är evighetsväsner.
And my spirit will live forever. Your spirit will live forever.
Och min ande, din ande, den vill leva vidare I alltid.
And the other is the word of God.
Den andre tingen som består Guds ord.
Because the Bible says heaven and earth would pass away, but his word would not.
Fordi at Bibelen selv sier at himmel og jord skal forgå, men hans ord vil aldri forgå.
So I tell my students, you sitting there,
så det at du sitter der, sier jeg til studentene,
you with your Bible,
sammen med din Bibel,
this is the most important thing because this is eternal.
Dette det aller, aller viktigste, for dette av evig karakter.
And everything else is temporary.
Alt annet midlertidig.
The most it will last is your lifetime.
I beste fall så vil det kanskje eksistere eller vare I hele levetiden din.
I had a long flight coming over to Norway.
Jeg hadde en lang tur å komme og fly hit til Norge.
And one of the things I did, I have to admit, was watch a movie on the flight.
Og en av de tingene jeg må kanskje innrømme da, at jeg så faktisk en film når jeg var ombord på flyet.
And I watched this historic movie called Alexander.
Jeg så en historisk film som heter Alexander.
And it was about Alexander the Great.
Og den handler da om Alexander den Store.
And This is just a tale, a story. I don't know how true it is.
Den filmatiseringen vel mest sannsynligvis en sånn litt oppdiktet historie. Jeg vet ikke hvor mye sannhet det I hele historien som fortelles der, men...
But it tells two things.
Men to ting I hvert fall klare.
One is before Alexander fell sick at a very young age and died.
En ting at når Alexander ble syk som en ung mann og døde,
that he actually cried saying there are no new countries for me to conquer.
Så ropte han ut at det ingen andre land I verden som jeg kan vinne over eller besegre.
But the other is that when he died he said, you know, keep my body open and my hands open to show that I Alexander the Great, conqueror of the whole world, leave with nothing.
Det andre han sa, det at når jeg skal begraves, så la kistelokket være åpent og hendene åpne, sånn at alle kan se at jeg, Alexander den Store, forlater denne kloden her uten å ta med meg noe som helst.
There are just two things that are eternal, you and God's word.
Det bare to ting som av evig karakter, det du og Guds ord.
And if you are able to combine these two, you and the word of God.
Og hvis du klarer å kombinere de to tingene her,
you have something of eternal value and something of God there.
Så har du noe av evig verdi og noe fra Gud akkurat I det.
God's word is powerful.
Guds ord mektig.
God's word is so powerful that the Bible tells us that God created the world by just speaking.
Guds ord så mektig at Bibelen sier oss at Gud skaper hele verden ved sitt ord.
Because if you read Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 and 2 that talks about the creation of the world, it says God spoke and there was this. God spoke, there was light. God spoke, there was earth. God spoke, there was water.
Leser du kapittel 1 og kapittel 2 I første Mosebok, så vil du se hele tiden hvordan det gjentar seg at Gud talte og det skjedde. Det talte, og det ble lys, han talte, og det ble til alt som ble til.
So it goes on saying God spoke, God spoke, God spoke, God spoke, and there were things that were happening.
Det står Gud talte, Gud talte, Gud talte, og hele tiden så skjedde det ting som en konsekvens av hans tale.
Which tells us that the word of God is powerful and it can create things where nothing exists.
Dette forteller oss at Guds ord mektig og I stand til å skape ting der ingenting eksisterer.
In fact, just before we get to that though, there was only one thing that says, it says God spoke, God spoke, God spoke, but then they say God formed. And he speaks with his mouth and he forms with his hand.
Men før vi går videre på det, så var det bare en ting som det står at Gud ikke talte, men der det står at Gud formet det med sine hender.
So what did he form with his
hand? Hva det Gud formet med sine hender?
Only one thing did he form.
Bare en ting som han formet med sine hender.
Everything else he spoke with his mouth.
Alt annet talte han inn I eksistens ved sin munn.
What do you think he formed with his hand?
Hva tror du han formet med sine hender?
Exactly, he formed man.
Menneske.
He formed man and woman or humankind with his hand.
Han formet menneskeheten, mannen og kvinnen med sine hender.
And there's a reason for that.
Og det jo en grunn til det.
And I wasn't planning to share this, but as I listened to the words of the first chorus that you all sang.
Jeg hadde ikke tenkt å dele dette her, her som, men når jeg hørte teksten på den første sangen som dere sang I dag.
Which talked about you being a living stone that built the temple of God.
Denne taler om at vi levende stener formet av Gud til å bygge Guds tempel.
There is a reason why the Bible says that God formed man with his hand.
Det også en grunn til at Gud sier at han formet mennesket med sine hender.
Because in Acts chapter 7 and verse 8 he talks about Solomon's temple.
I Apostlenes gjerninger 7 vers 8 så taler Gud om Salomos tempel.
And there the Bible tells us that God told that he does not dwell and talking about actually Acts chapter 7 and verse 17.
Det vers 17 egentlig I kapittel 7.
Oh sorry, verse 49, not 17, verse 49.
49 det egentlig. Okay?
Which says God says, I don't dwell in temples made by human hands.
Og der sier han, men den høyeste bor ikke I templer laget med hender.
And this is he was talking about the temple in Jerusalem.
Det her sa Gud om det tempelet som ble bygd I Jerusalem.
Solomon's temple.
Salomos tempel altså.
We have some people that are going to Israel.
Vi har noen her som skal til Israel.
When you go to Israel, you will go to Jerusalem.
Og når dere I Israel, så dere vel mest sannsynligvis også I Jerusalem.
Solomon's temple is no longer there.
Men Salomos tempel ikke der lenger.
There is just one of the outer walls that remain.
Det bare en av de yttre veggene som tilbake.
And this is where the Jews pray because that's all that's left of the temple.
Og der jødene ber, for det eneste som igjen av tempelet.
By the way, it's still a very special place.
Men det allikevel et veldig spesielt sted.
I've been privileged to go to Israel.
Jeg vært privilegert å kunne reise til Israel.
Been there several times.
Vært der flere ganger faktisk.
And even 2,000 years after the destruction of the temple.
Og selv 2,000 år etter ødeleggelsen av tempelet.
If you go there.
Og når du går dit.
With some degree of spiritual sensitivity.
Og hvis du har en viss grad av åndelig sånn følsomhet.
You sense the presence of God.
Så kjenner du Guds nærvær.
But the temple doesn't exist.
Men allikevel, tempelet ikke der og eksisterer ikke lenger.
But if it did exist.
Men om det hadde vært slik.
Historians tell us.
Så sier historien oss.
That it would easily have been within the seven wonders of the world.
At det hadde ganske enkelt vært et av verdens syv underverker, altså så vakkert var det.
And probably the best.
Og kanskje på toppen av det flotteste av de syv underverkene I verden.
You know these other ones that are called the seven wonders of the world.
Du kjenner til noen av de andre byggverkene kanskje som blant verdens syv underverker.
You know the pyramids of Egypt, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Pyramidene I Egypt, det skjeve tårnet I Pisa, Babylons hengende hager, kan du ikke se lenger, men de var der.
None of those come close to what Solomon's temple was.
Men det ingen av de som kommer I nærheten engang av det som var Salomos tempels prakt.
Solomon's temple was designed by God.
For Salomos tempel var jo designet av Gud opprinnelig.
And in the Old Testament, it said God gave Solomon very specific instructions about how the temple was going to be.
Og Gud ga jo Salomo helt spesifikke instruksjoner om hvordan tempelet skulle bygges.
The temple had a place called the Holy of Holies.
Og I tempelet så fantes det et sted som man kalte det aller, aller helligste.
Or otherwise known as the most holy place.
Ja, det aller, aller helligste.
And only the high priest could go there once a year.
Og dit var det jo bare ypperste presten som kunne gå en gang I året.
And before he went in, he had to do something called repenting for his sins.
Og før han gikk inn, så måtte han gjøre en viktig ting, og det var å omvende seg fra sine synder.
Which is he had to pray and say, God, I have sinned, and he had to do a blood sacrifice, and he had to do a bunch of things.
Og han måtte da be til Gud og be om tilgivelse for sine synder, han måtte bringe blodoffer og en hel rekke ting som stod på rekkefølgen før han kunne entre inn I dette rommet.
And if he went in with sin in his heart,
og hvis han hadde entret inn der med synd I sitt hjerte,
he would be struck down dead immediately.
Så hadde han falt død om med en eneste gang.
If he was in there and he sinned, he would be struck dead immediately for the holiness of God.
Vært der inne og syndet, hadde han blitt slått ned med en gang.
And if that happened, you know, no one could go into the Holy of Holies to bring his body out.
Og da var det ingen som kunne gå inn for å hente ut den døde kroppen.
So around his waist he had a sash like a belt.
Så runt sig så hade han alltså ett tau, akkurat som ett bälte.
And the belt had a long rope and this was kept outside the holy of holies.
Och det tauet var ett långt tau som gick utanför det allra heligaste rummet.
And he had little bells on him.
Och så hade han klockor som bjällor som ringte.
So as he moved around they could hear the bells making a little noise.
Så att när han var I bevegelse hela tiden så kunde de höra dessa bjällorna hur de ringte.
If the bell stopped they would pull a little on the cord to see whether there's
Och blev det för länge stille så drog man lite grann I tauet för att höra att han var fortsatt I gång.
Whether the chief priest is still alive or dead.
För att se om han var levande eller död.
But that was the degree of the holiness of the presence of God that dwelt in that temple.
Men alltså det var den grad av Guds helighet som var till stede till en vär tid inne I det allra heligaste.
And so there the presence of God was there in Solomon's temple.
Så att det var till stede där I Guds tempel.
But still here in the book of Acts God says but I don't dwell my presence does but I don't dwell in temples made with human hands.
Så läser vi allikevel här då I Apostlenes gjerninger 7 där Gud säger att ja det är slik att mitt närvaro är till stede men jag själv jag bor inte I ett tempel byggd av människor.
And when we read that passage in Acts 7:47 where it says I don't dwell in temples made with human hands.
Och när vi läser det avsnittet där han säger att jag bor inte I tempel byggd med människohänder.
We begin to understand why in Genesis chapter 1 it keeps telling us God said, God said, God said, God said, but then when it came to mankind it says God formed.
Och då skönjer vi kanske varför Gud I begynnelsen säger att Gud talade och det skedde, Gud talade och det skedde och så plötsligt så säger han och Gud formet.
Because God does not live in temples made with human hands.
För Gud bor inte I templer byggt av människohänder.
And therefore he created the heavens and earth with the word with his word.
Därför skapade han himlen och jorden med att tala med sitt ord.
And God has not finished creating.
Och Gud har inte gjort sig färdig med att skapa.
Because if you know astronomy it will tell you that the universe is creating new planets even as we speak.
För hvis du känner lite grann till universum så är det nyskapning som föregår I ytterkanterna där nya planeter skapas hela tiden I universum.
And our God is a creative God.
Gud är en skapande Gud.
But and they are all created by his word.
Och allt är skapat av hans ord.
And the word of God is therefore powerful.
Och därför är det Guds ord är så mäktigt.
But God formed just one thing with his hand.
Men Gud formet kun en ting med sina händer.
God formed mankind with his hand.
Gud formet mänskligheten med sina händer.
Because he doesn't dwell in temples made with human hands.
För han bor inte I templer byggt med mänskliga händer.
So he made a temple with his own hand.
Så han lagde ett tempel med sina egna händer.
That he could dwell in.
Ett sted där han kunde bo.
He made you and I.
Han skapade dig och mig.
As his temple.
Som sitt tempel.
In which God dwells.
Och det är det stället där Gud bor.
Turn to your neighbor and say you are the temple in which God dwells.
Se till den vid sidan av dig att du är Guds tempel, var Gud bor.
Because that is what the Bible says.
För det är det Bibeln säger.
The word of God is powerful.
Guds ord är mäktig.
And Jesus is called the living word.
Jesus blir kallt för det levande ordet.
And he calls us to look to him.
Han kallar oss alltså genom det till att se till ham.
And to believe him.
Och för att tro ham.
You see Satan's task is to deceive us.
Satans sin uppgave är att bedra oss eller förföra oss.
The Bible tells us the reality of a living evil being of fallen angels.
Och Bibeln berättar oss om realiteten av dessa skapningarna som är ondskapsfulla och som lever också fullt och helt ibland oss eller är till stede ibland oss.
Now I realize that here in Europe this is a bit of a hard sell.
Jag skönjer att det här I Europa så är det här något som är vanskligt att tro.
It's difficult to convince people that there is a living, loving God.
Det er vanskelig nok å overbevise mennesker at det er en levende, kjærlig Gud.
It is even more difficult to convince people that there is an evil, satanic being.
Og enda verre er det å prøve å overbevise mennesker at det er en ondskapsfull skapning som finnes også der ute.
But just because you don't believe him does not mean he doesn't exist.
Men problemet er at selv om du ikke tror at han finnes, så er han der allikevel.
But he doesn't work in human society with just power.
Han jobber ikke I det mänskliga samhället bara med kraft.
Because actually all authority belongs to God.
För att all auktoriteten tillhör Gud.
He works among humans actually by deceiving them.
Men han jobbar bland mänskligheten med att förföra dem.
He puts ideas into their head.
Han ger tankar in I människors huvuden
which blinds them to the reality. Of God.
Och som blinder dem ifrån verkligheten om vem Gud är.
Ideas are very powerful.
Idéer är väldigt mäktiga saker.
How many of you all know that ideas are powerful?
Hur många är klara över att idéer är något mäktiga grejer?
I'll give you an example.
Låt mig ge ett exempel.
In the part of the world that I come from.
I den delen av världen som jag kommer från.
In the Buddhist world.
I den buddhistiska världen.
India, Thailand, Myanmar.
India, Thailand och Burma eller Myanmar.
We use elephants in temple worship, in Buddhist temple worship.
Där brukar vi elefanter I tillbedelsen I templen.
The elephant is the largest living mammal.
För att elefanten är den största det pattedyret som lever på land.
Very big.
Den är svär.
Tons of weight.
Flera ton.
And you control this elephant by having a very small chain wrapped around its leg and chained to something.
Allikevel så kan du kontrollera denna svära elefanten med att ha en liten kätting runt foten hans som är fästad till ett eller annat.
This chain is not very strong.
Och denna kättingen är också stark I det hela tatt.
I mean it's strong but it can't hold an elephant.
Den är stark nog men den har ingen chans att hålla tillbaka en svär elefant.
Because you know, you will have to create a sort of extra reinforced kind of unique chain to hold an elephant.
Ska du hålla på något en elefant I fange så måste du ha en förstärkt kätting för att kunna klara det.
So I'll tell you how they hold the elephant.
Så måten som man håller elefanten tillbaka på följande.
How many of you all have seen an elephant either in a zoo or maybe on a, like on TV?
Har du sett en elefant på TV eller på I dyreparken eller var som helst. Ja.
If you see a baby elephant in captivity.
När du ser en liten elefant som är I fångenskap.
To train it to being an adult elephant that can be controlled, they tie it with this chain.
För att träna en elefant så att han när han blir stor kan fortsatt bara bindas med en liten kätting.
And they don't like this chain.
Och de liker inte denna kättingen.
So they spend all their time doing this. They shake their leg.
Så när den elefanten är liten så är den bindig fast med den kättingen och hela tiden så står han där och river I kättingen.
Trying to break the chain.
Pröver att riva kättingen över.
They spend all their waking time shaking their leg, trying to break the chain.
Hela sin vakna tid står den där och prövar att bevega och riva sig lös från den kättingen.
But the small baby elephant cannot break the chain.
Men den lilla elefanten, den kan inte bryta den kättingen I det hela tatt.
And one day he decides, I have been spending all my waking days trying to break this chain, trying to break this chain. It can't happen. It won't happen. And he stops trying.
Och så bestämmer han sig en dag. Nu har jag prövd hela min vakna tid och bryter mig lös från den här kättingen. Det går inte an. Det kan inte ske. Och så slutar han att försöka.
In English we have a saying, an elephant never forgets.
På engelsk så säger man ett ordtag som att elefanter glömmer aldrig. Vi säger väl detsamma på norsk.
And it comes actually from this.
Och det har sitt upphav I akkurat den upplevelsen här.
People who train elephants will tell you.
De som tränar elefanter, de berättar dig.
There is a day when an elephant cub stops shaking its leg.
Att det är en dag som kommer där elefanten slutar att försöka riva sig lös.
He stops after months and months and months of trying every single day.
Och detta är efter månader på månader där han var eviga dag har försökt att komma sig lös.
But from the day he stops.
Men från den dagen han slutar att försöka riva sig lös.
Never ever again in his life will he ever test the strength of that chain.
Så prövar han aldrig någonsin igen I resten av sitt liv och utfordrar styrkan på den kättingen.
So you will control, humans will control this massive animal.
Så mennesker kontrollerer dette massive dyr.
When he grows up to being tons.
Når han blir stor og vokser veier flere tonn.
And can snap that chain.
Han kan bare røske av den kjettingen uten noe problem.
He will never try.
Men han gjør aldri noe forsøk på det.
And they will control him by just tying that chain to the to something.
Och de kontrollerar han bara att binda den kättingen till nästan till vad som helst.
Now I want to ask you.
Så, nu måste jag fråga dig.
Is the fully grown elephant?
Den är fullvuxen elefanten.
Is he controlled by the strength of the chain?
Kontrolleras han av styrken I denna kättingen?
Or is he controlled by an idea?
Eller kontrolleras han av en idé?
Which tells him that that chain cannot be broken.
Som fortæller han at den kjettingen, den kan du ikke vinne over.
The elephant is controlled by an idea.
Elefanten kontrolleres av ideen.
In fact, he lives in deceit.
Han lever I et bedrag, rett og slett.
For the rest of his life.
Resten av sitt liv på grunn av det.
That is exactly how Satan works with us.
Og det jo nøyaktig den måten som Satan prøver å jobbe med oss.
He comes to deceive us.
Han kommer for å bedra oss.
The Bible says with Adam and Eve, he asked this question, did God really say?
Och det står att när fienden kom till Adam och Eva så var det spörsmålet, har Gud verkligen sagt?
And that is the question that he still asks us.
Och det är ju det spörsmålet han fortsätter att ställa oss.
We are always challenged, did God really say this?
Vi utfordras alltid, har Gud verkligen sagt detta?
Does the eternal word of God which Jesus calls himself the living word really tell this?
Sier det evige ord som Jesus kaller seg selv virkelig dette?
And then he comes and tells us.
Og så kommer han og sier til oss.
Like he told Adam and Eve.
Som han sa til Adam og Eva.
Well if you do this.
Om du gjør det.
It will be better for you.
Så blir det bedre for dere.
He always deceives us.
Han prøver alltid å bedra oss.
That somehow we can improve on.
At vi på en eller annen måte kan forbedre ting.
On God's best for us.
At vi kan skulle forbedre det som Guds ideal for oss.
See back to our passage in John about Jesus.
Vi tilbake I Johannes evangelien.
Tells us in verse 4 that Jesus... That the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness that in him was life, and the life was the light of men.
I ham var liv, og livet var menneskenes lys.
That Jesus is the light.
Jesus lyset.
Light dispels darkness.
Lys fordriver mørke.
And it's just like in Genesis where God said, "Let there be light."
Det som I første Mosebok der Gud sa, "La det bli lys."
And John tells us that Jesus is the light.
Og Johannes forteller oss her at Jesus dette lyset.
Light dispels darkness.
Lys driver mørke bort.
Where do we need some light of God in our lives?
Hvor vi trenger Guds lys I våre liv?
God has a promise for our lives.
Gud han har ett löfte för våra liv.
And it's a very simple one.
Och det är väldigt enkelt.
He tells I am your father and you are my child.
Han säger jag är din far, du är mitt barn.
Receive my love.
Ta emot min kärlek.
We serve a God who loves us abundantly.
Vi tjänar en Gud som älskar oss.
We serve
enormt.
We serve a God who's desire is to bless us.
Hans önske att välsigna oss.
His desire is that we receive.
Hans önske att vi ska ta emot.
We don't serve a God that is, you know, that is harsh. We serve a God that is love and full of grace and mercy.
Vi tjänar inte en Gud som hard, men en som full av barmhärtighet och nåd.
But you might say, but pastor, I haven't really experienced that in my life.
Men du kan si at, ja men pastor, det har jeg jo ikke opplevd på den måten I mitt liv.
And I would say this.
Og da må jeg si følgende.
Firstly, there is God's truth. There is God's truth. Truth.
Truth.
Yes.
All right. First, det Guds sannhet.
And then there is my experience.
Deretter kommer min erfaring.
Just because I haven't experienced something does not mean that it is not true.
Selv om jeg da ikke har opplevd en ting, så ikke det det samme som at en sak ikke sann.
You know, I've traveled to about 40 countries in the world.
Jeg har reist til cirka 40 ulike nasjoner I verden.
That's not a lot because there are about 200 countries in the world.
Det ikke så fryktelig mye egentlig, for det over 200 land I verden.
So I've only gone to about one out of every five.
Så da har man bare vært I ett av fem land.
But let's just take some country I haven't gone to.
Men hvis man da sier, nevne et land som jeg ikke har vært I, for eksempel.
I haven't gone to Russia.
Jeg har aldri vært I Russland.
Now, I can say, well, I haven't experienced Russia.
Så da kan jeg jo si at, ja, men jeg har ikke erfart Russland.
I haven't been to Russia.
Jeg har ikke vært I Russland.
I don't know Russia.
Jeg kjenner ikke Russland.
I don't even know whether it exists.
Jeg vet ikke engang om det eksisterer.
Because I haven't experienced it.
Fordi jeg har ikke erfart det.
Just because I haven't experienced it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Men bare fordi at jeg ikke har erfart det, så bør jo ikke til det samme at det ikke eksisterer.
Because the truth is bigger than my experience.
Fordi at sannheten større enn min erfaring.
And so if there's God's truth,
så om du har Guds sannhet,
and there's my experience,
og min erfaring,
and these two clash,
og når disse to kolliderer,
let me tell you what will change.
Så la meg da si hva det som kommer til å forandres.
The truth will not change.
Det sannheten forandres ikke.
My experience should change.
Men min erfaring må forandres.
So raise your experience to the truth of God.
Så la heller din erfaring løftes frem og opp til det som Guds sannhet.
And what's the truth of God?
Og hva Guds sannhet?
He loves you.
Han elsker deg.
He has called you.
Han har kalt deg.
He cares for you.
Han bryr seg om deg.
And this is his truth.
Og dette hans sannhet.
So you might say, well, I haven't experienced it.
Ja, ja, men jeg har ikke erfart det.
Many of you are probably familiar with the story of what the Bible says, the prodigal son.
Det sikkert sånn at de fleste av dere kjent med historien om det vi kaller for den fortapte sønn.
And it's a story about well, two sons actually, but the story is about one of them.
Det jo historien egentlig om to sønner, men det den ene av de som får fokus.
Who told the father, father, I can't sort of wait till you die to get my inheritance.
Og han sa det at jeg har liksom ikke helt tid til å vente til du dør, før jeg får arven min, så la man få den litt sånn for tiden.
Pretty nasty son, I agree.
En ganske ubehøvla sønn, for å si det sånn.
So can you give me my inheritance now?
Så la meg få min arv nå.
And I'll just, you know, I'll be gone.
Så forsvinner jeg ut herifra og lever mitt eget liv.
So the Bible tells us that the father gave him half of what he owned.
Så han fikk den halvparten som tilhørte ham.
And that the son took off.
Og så reiste han derifra.
Lost everything.
Men han mistet alt.
And of course then he came back.
Og da kom han så tilbake.
And his father accepted him.
Hans far aksepterte ham.
And many of you would know this story.
Og mange av dere kjenner jo denne I detalj.
But it teaches us this experience.
Men det forteller oss allikevel en erfaring.
Sorry, this truth.
Eller en sannhet, rettere sagt.
When the son was away from the father's house.
Når sønnen var borte fra farshuset.
Once he lost everything.
Når han hadde tapt alt.
The Bible tells us.
Så sier Bibelen oss.
That he became poor.
At han ble fattig.
He became hungry.
Han ble sulten.
And he was a Jewish boy.
Og han var en jødisk gutt.
And the only job he could find.
Men den eneste jobben han klarte å finne.
Was looking after pigs.
Var å passe på griser.
Now the Jews like the Arabs and the Muslims would consider pigs to be an extra unclean animal.
Både jøder, muslimer og arabere, de ser på grisen som et særdeles skittent dyr, urent dyr.
And the only job he could find was looking after the pigs.
Og den eneste jobben han kunne finne var altså å passe på svinene.
And then he said, what am I doing here? I will just go back to my father.
Og så kommer han til seg selv og sier, hva det jeg driver med her? Jeg vil vende om og gå tilbake til min far.
And he headed back to the father.
Og da reiser han tilbake til sin far.
And he told the father, I am not worthy to be your son.
Og han sier til faren at jeg ikke verdig til å være din sønn.
Because I have sinned against you.
Fordi jeg har syndet mot deg.
But just let me be a servant in your house.
La meg bare få lov til å være en tjener I ditt hus.
Because I know how you look after the servants.
For jeg vet hvordan du passer på tjenerne her I huset.
And they wouldn't have to be looking after pigs because we are all Jews and we don't do the unclean things.
Og de ville ikke ha behøvd å passe på grisene for at vi som jøder, vi tar ikke oss av disse urene tingene.
This is what he was planning to say.
Det var det han hadde planlagt han skulle si til faren når han kom hjem.
He didn't get to say it.
Men han kom aldri så langt.
Because the father ran and put his arms around him when he saw him coming to the house.
För att faren han kom och löp ham i möte och kastade armarna om han när han och tog han emot.
And told the servants, you know, bring him new clothes and throw a big party. He's come back and took his ring and said, you know, that was a sign of sonship. And here's the ring, my son has returned.
Och han sa till tjänarna, gör i stan en fest här, sa han, och han tog av sig ringen sin som ett tecken på att han tillhör är son av sin far, och så gjorde de i stan för han där.
But the story teaches us about the father's love.
Historien berättar oss egentligen alltså om faderns kärlighet.
You see, the father considered the son precious just because he was the son.
Fadern ansåg sonen för dyrbar bara för att han var son.
Not because of what he did, not because of anything, but because of who he was.
Inte på grund av det han gjorde eller vad han hade varit eller någonting annat.
But there was a time when the son wasn't experiencing any love.
Men det var en tid där sonen erfarte inte denna kärligheten.
There was a time when the son didn't have enough to eat and when he had to be among unclean pigs and when he was really really down.
Då han inte hade någonting att spise, han måste passa på dessa urena grisarna, han var långt 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 nere.
But he was really down not because the father didn't love him.
Men han var långt nere, inte för att fadern inte älskade han.
Because the father really did love him.
För fadern älskade han verkligen.
But he was really down.
Men han var långt nere.
Because he left the place of the father's love.
Fördi han förlot det stället där faderns kärlek var.
And he was not in the place of receiving the love of the father.
Så att han var inte där han kunde ta emot faderns kärlek.
You see, there is a place where I receive the blessing and the love of God.
Det är ett ställe där jag tar emot Guds välsignelse och Guds kärlighet.
Because God is a loving God.
Fördi Gud är en kärlig Gud.
But he is also a holy and just God.
Han är också en helig och en rättfärdig Gud.
You see, that father loved his son.
Fadern älskade sin son.
But there was a place where the son could experience that love and the blessing.
Men det var ett ställe där också sonen kunde erfara den kärleken och välsignelsen.
And that had to be in the father's house.
Och det var i faderns hus.
And if the son was in the house, he would receive the love and the care and the provision and the food and everything.
Och hvis sonen var i huset, ville han ha både kärlighet och omsorg och blivit sörget för på alla möjliga måter.
But if he chose to go away, the father would respect that decision.
Men om han valde att gå bort, så ville fadern respektera den beslutningen.
And it tells us the same thing about God.
Och han berättar oss detsamma om Gud.
See, it is not a difficult thing to keep God at an arm's length.
Det är inte vanskligt att hålla Gud på armlängds avstånd.
The real challenge is to draw close to God.
Utfordringen är mer att dra nära till Gud.
And sometimes we don't experience all that God has for us.
Av och till så är det slik att vi erfarer inte allt det som Gud har för oss.
Because we are not in the place of his love.
Fördi att vi inte är på det stället där Guds kärlek är.
So the Bible tells us in Isaiah 43 verse 1.
Bibeln berättar oss i Jesajas 43:1.
That I have called you by name, you are mine.
Jag har kallat dig vid namn, du är min.
We have been called by name.
Så vi är kallat vid namn.
See, I told you that the word of God is powerful.
Jag sa att Guds ord är mäktigt.
If you get a word from God,
om du får ett ord från Gud,
it is enough to change your life.
Så är det nog till att förändra ditt liv.
I received two such words from God that really impacted and changed my life.
Jag har haft två såna ord från Gud som verkligen har haft stor inflytelse i mitt liv.
The first is when I was about 16 years old, God told me this, Isaiah 43:1, I have called you by name, you are mine.
Det första var när jag var 16 år gammal, då Gud visade mig detta vers i Jesajas 43:1, där Gud säger, jag har kallat dig vid namn, du är min.
And I knew then.
Jag visste då.
That I was called by God, that I was special and unique in his sight.
Att jag var kallt av Gud, att jag var speciell och unik i ham.
There are 7 billion people on planet Earth.
Det är 7 miljarder människor på kloden idag.
And of all those 7 billion people, he knows and calls me by name. He knows and calls you by name.
Och av alla dessa 7 miljarder människorna, så är det han som kallar mig vid sitt namn, han kallar dig vid ditt namn.
When I explain this, I tell very simply, I tell people, look at your thumbprint.
Jag försöker att förklara detta här på en enkel måte, och då säger jag, se på tommelen på fingeravtrycket ditt.
In fact, it's a good thing to do. Everybody look at their thumb.
Det er en bra ting å gjøre. Studer tommelen og fingeravtrykket ditt litt grann.
Do you know something about your thumb, the print that you have there?
Vet du någonting om dette fingeravtrykket som du har der?
What can you tell about?
Vad kan du si om det?
If you take this thumbprint.
Jo, hvis du tar dette tommelfingeravtrykket.
Now I came through Dubai, a lot of the airports. Actually, it's interesting. In Dubai, they actually take the retina of your eye, the black of your eye.
Når du går gjennom sikkerhetskontrollen flere steder, så er det forskjellige sikkerhetstiltak som de gjør. Når du kommer til Dubai, så tar de en sånn scanning av retinaen din, altså regnbuehinna di I øyet.
But when I came into Norway at Oslo Airport, so at the immigration counter, they had the machine and they said, so put your thumbprint.
Men I Norge, når du kommer inn der på immigration for min del, da må jeg ved en sånn maskin, da jeg må legge tommelen min på en sånn glassplate.
So I put my thumbprint and they took a scan.
Så de skannet tommelavtrykket mitt.
And do you know why they would scan a thumbprint?
Hvorfor skanner de dette tommelavtrykket?
Because if you compare your thumbprint with every other one of the 7 billion people on planet Earth.
Jo, fordi at hvis du sammenligner det tommelfingeravtrykket ditt med alle 7 milliarder menneskene som I verden.
Your print is unique.
Så ditt avtrykk helt unikt.
Nobody's print will match yours.
Ingen andre vill ha makan till ditt.
Because of your something called your DNA signature, your DNA.
Detta på en måte din signatur som vi finner I ditt DNA.
Your parents will come close.
Foreldrene dine, deres fingeravtrykk vil være nært.
Your siblings will come close.
Søskene dine vil komme tett på.
But not a match.
Men aldri identisk.
We all have a unique DNA signature.
Alle har et helt unikt DNA-signatur.
And that's why my fingerprint is unique. Derfor
mitt fingeravtrykk helt unikt.
This is my body.
Det her kroppen min.
It'll last for 70, 80, 90 years, I don't know.
Maybe den vill vara 70, 80, 90 år, ikke vet jeg.
And my body is unique.
Och kroppen min jo unik.
No one else on planet Earth exactly like mine.
Det ingen som har den kroppen som jag har.
But my spirit, the Bible says, will live forever.
Men min ånd, sier Bibelen, vill leve för alltid.
You are unique.
Du är unik.
How much more?
Hvor mye mer?
If your temporary body is unique.
Hvis din midlertidige kropp unik.
Jesus said, I have called you by name, you are mine.
Når Jesus da sier, jeg har kalt deg ved navn, du min.
And finally, I want to close with this.
Og så skal jeg avslutte med følgende.
You have been called by Jesus.
Du kalt av Jesus.
What have you been called to?
Hva det du kalt til?
You are called with a purpose.
Du kalt med en hensikt.
You are not called for no reason, you are called for a reason.
Du ikke kalt uten grunn, men du blitt kalt fordi det en grunn til det.
So there were two words that I received which have changed my life.
Det to ord altså som jeg har mottatt som har forandret mitt liv.
One that I am called by God.
Det ene som nå, som jeg kalt av Gud.
And it gave me a sense of value and purpose that is far beyond what I do. What I do is not who I am. It's who I am, his child.
Og han ga meg en følelse av verdi og hensikt. Men den jeg mye større enn min funksjon.
But God has a specific plan and a purpose.
Men Gud også en helt spesifikk plan og en hensikt.
And that's why it says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of you.
Og det derfor vi leser om det I Filipperne 3:12, der han sier, det ikke det som står der, men han refererer til at ta fatt på det, grip tak I det. Ephesians 3:12?
No, Philippians.
Philippians 3:12.
Yes.
Ja. Ikke slik at jeg forstår og har nådd det og allerede blitt fullkommen, men jeg jager fram så jeg kan gripe tak I det ettersom Kristus Jesus også har grepet tak I meg.
Jesus took hold of me for a purpose.
Jesus tok tak I meg med en hensikt, sier han.
Jesus has called you for a purpose.
Og Jesus har kalt deg med en hensikt.
You know, very often we don't feel very special.
Du vet, ofte det slik at vi føler oss ikke så veldig spesielle.
And I want to tell you this.
Och då vill jag säga si följande.
God doesn't work through special people.
Gud jobbar inte genom speciella människor.
God works very often through very ordinary, simple people.
Gud arbeider ofte gjennom helt ordinære, vanlige mennesker.
In fact, most of the time we think big things are done by big people.
Ofte så tenker vi slik at de store tingene skjer gjennom store og berømte mennesker.
But when God wants to do big things, he just finds people who trust in him and they're usually quite small.
Men når Gud skal gjøre store ting, så finner han ganske vanlige mennesker.
David was a boy when he threw a stone at a giant.
David var jo bare en gutt når han gikk imot kjempen Goliat og overvant ham.
The Bible tells us 5,000 people were fed with one boy giving his lunch.
5,000 mennesker ble gitt mat ved en liten guds lunsjboks.
When there was a famine, the prophet Elijah was sent to a widow to be fed.
Under sultperioden eller under sulten eller hungersperioden så ble Elias sendt til en enke for å bli født der.
Joseph was a prisoner and before that he was a slave when he was used to change a nation.
Josef var fange och för det var han slave där Gud brukte han till att förändra en hel nation.
Daniel was actually a refugee.
Daniel var ju en flykting
when he was used by God.
Då han blev brukt av Gud.
So God uses strange vessels.
Så Gud brukar vanliga och kanske lite underliga kar.
Don't count yourself out.
Så därför må du inte ta dig själv ut av någon funktioner där Gud önskar att bruka dig.
Because it is not you.
För det drejer sig inte först och främst om dig.
It is God in you.
Det är Gud I dig det snackar om.
The Holy Spirit within you.
Den helige ånd som och virker I dig.
The power of God.
Guds kraft.
Because you are his temple.
Fordi du hans tempel.
And the God who dwells in you, his word is creative and is powerful and will do powerful things in and through.
Og det ord som han har lagt I deg, det skapende ord og I stand til å skape det det skal fungere I.
All he's looking for.
Alt han ser etter.
Is people who will yield to him and say yes.
Mennesker som vil overgi seg til ham og si ja til ham.
Who will believe him.
Som vil tro ham.
And trust him.
Och ha tillit till ham.
And so I want to invite and challenge you this evening.
Så jag vill invitera dig och utfordra dig ikväll.
You see, don't be like that elephant that is controlled by a lion.
Var inte som den elefanten som blir kontrollerad av denna lilla kättingen.
And Satan comes and deceives us with all sorts of lies.
Och låt Satan få låta komma och bedra dig med alla sina lögner.
The lie that deceives me is not the lie that deceives you.
Och den lögnen som bedrar mig är inte den samma lögnen som bedrar dig.
But he is the father of lies.
Men han fienden är far, alla lögners far.
Instead believe the truth of God.
Men ha tro till Guds sanning.
Jesus. Is the living word.
Jesus är det levande ordet.
The word that became flesh.
Det ordet som blev kött.
And dwelt among us.
Och som bodde bland oss.
You are a living temple.
Du är ett levande tempel.
You are eternal.
Du är evig.
Connect your eternal life. Connect your eternal life.
Koble ditt eviga liv.
To the eternal word of God in Jesus.
Till det eviga ordet som är Jesus Kristus.
And experience the plan and purpose that he has for you.
Och erfar den plan och den hensikt som han har för dig.
This is his call for you.
Det är hans kall till dig.
So let's just bow our heads and close our eyes.
Ska vi ta och be avslutningsvis.
And let me just pray for you. Loving heavenly Father.
Kärle himmelske far.
We thank you for this evening.
Vi tackar dig för denna kvällen.
That we could gather together.
Som vi kan samlas samman.
For your presence in our midst this evening.
Vi tackar dig för ditt närvaro I bland oss ikväll.
Lord, your word is living, your word is powerful.
Ditt ord är levande, det är kraftfullt.
We ask master that as we looked at you Lord Jesus.
Vi ber mäster att när vi ser till dig Herre Jesus.
The word that became flesh.
Ordet som blev kött.
That dwelt among us.
Som bodde bland oss.
That calls us by name.
Som kallar oss vid namn.
That has a plan and purpose for us.
Som har plan och hensikt med oss.
Lord, we thank and praise you.
Herre, vi tackar och vi prisar dig.
Lord, we surrender to you.
Herre, vi överger oss till dig.
Have your will and way. Have your will
and din vilja och din väg.
Master, I pray for these your children.
Herre, jag ber för dessa dina barn.
Holy Spirit work powerfully in each and every one of their lives.
Arbeid mektig I hvert og et av deres liv, Herre.
For you have called each of them by name.
For du har kalt hver og en av dem ved navn.
And Lord, let them look to you.
Og Herre, la dem se til deg.
The author and finisher of their faith.
Du som opphavet og fullenderen av vår tro.
We surrender them into your gracious and precious loving hands.
Vi overlater oss til dine dyrebare hender, Herre.
Have your will and way in each and every life, O Lord, we pray.
Ha din vilje og din vei I hvert og en sitt liv, Herre, vi ber.
In Jesus' precious
name. I Jesu dyrebare navn.
Amen.
Amen.